Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters,
keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And on today's show, I have the superintendent of the Wood Buffalo RCMP detachment joining me over the phone, Mark Hancock. Mark, I appreciate you taking a couple of minutes. And we have a few things I was hoping to chat a few about. And I know that you guys recently conducted your policing priorities survey. So maybe just to start off with what the results were, and for those who are maybe unaware, what the focus of this survey is.
Thank you very much, Jaron. We had this year, as you know, we had this survey sent out to all of the RMWB communities. And last year, there were 409 people that participated in the survey. You know, as a result of probably my discussion with you and other media, we had a really good turnout this year, and we had over 700 people participate in the survey. So very pleased with that. And as well as that, also done a few things with myself and my team, you know, virtually getting out there as well personally. But just recently, like yesterday, we had myself and Sergeant Sarah Drummond on my management team up here. We spoke with Conklin. We talked to Jeffrey O'Donnell and the CEO down there and his team, and got some really good feedback, you know, as regards of how policing is going there, what would they like to see as priorities. And so that was really solid. And last week on Thursday, myself and Inspector Tyler Codling, who's my operations officer, we flew up to Fort Chippewan, and I was actually able to meet with both Chief Adam and Chief Powder and his whole council on that side. So we got some really good feedback there as well, and it was great to talk to those individuals. Some very positive things came out of those meetings, and happy about that. But with regards to the online survey, with our top priorities came up from the community of over 700 people interviewed. The number one thing that was a priority for the community was property crime and thefts, with 362 hits on that out of the over 700. So that was the number one response. The second one was illegal drug-related offenses. So traffic and possession with 284 responses. Third was impaired driving by drugs or alcohol. And then domestic violence, crime reduction strategies, and community policing. So those were the top ones. And so obviously we take those into consideration now moving forward. And we've got tomorrow morning, actually, internally with our own detachment and sort of our keeping it open to as many of my leaders here at the different units as we can. It's being chaired by Staff Sergeant Kathy Klassen. And she's got it set up for 10 o'clock tomorrow morning internally for us to utilize the community input and formalize our policing plan with objectives, priorities, and initiatives. So more to come on that, because we're going to, you know, we're going to, what do the police think? Here's what the community thinks so far, and start formulating our plan. I mean, last year's plan was similar for 2020 to 2021, the annual performance plan for Wood Buffalo Detachment. Had the objective number one was crime reduction, and we had a couple of initiatives under that one. The second one was traffic safety, and so that was impaired driving charges and Traffic Safety Act infractions, increasing those, dealing with those. And then the third objective was drugs, so increase the number of drug-related charges was an initiative, and also conducting drug awareness and educational presentations. The fourth objective was enhance public confidence engagement and conduct community town halls and stakeholder engagements. So that one has been a little bit tough recently with COVID and over the year. But I just got some really great news today. Actually, we have our management meeting on Mondays and on Thursdays. And this morning, Nicole Chouinard, who works in the municipality here for us, she came up with speaking to some of our stakeholders, the virtual town hall. So with regards to community engagements, we're going to have, be able to have a live forum mid to late April looking at. And that'll be where the community can send in questions, and I'll answer their questions with my team. So it'll be live, and I know it's been done in some other communities, and it's also free. So this is a great thing. And we'll be able to elicit even more information. Now, our plan will be in place then, because it's due April 1st, right? So I'll speak back about that. And I guess there's one really important other thing, and that's that, you know, our annual performance plan is one thing. But we still have, you know, your core day-to-day policing and day-to-day needs for each community. So just because, you know, these are our top priorities for, you know, for this year's annual performance plan that reports up to everyone. You know, if a community has a specific problem, I have the resources to deal with that as well. So there's still core policing outside of this plan, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But very happy with the response, and you know, I'm still reaching out and trying to talk to as many stakeholders as I can and see what the feelings are of the community. And so far, so good. I've had a lot of positive feedback. I still know a lot of people from when I was here before, and it's going as well as it can. I'm going to keep working on it.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to when you mentioned property thefts being the number one priority coming out of the survey. I believe you mentioned around 360, so close to half or maybe half. I know you had mentioned there was over 700 respondents. I know you're new. You've only been here for a few weeks now, and I don't know if you have the data in front of you, but have you guys been seeing a spike in property thefts? The fact that around 50% of respondents said this was their main focus, that has to say something.
Well, throughout the whole RMWB, this survey came back from a lot of different communities. And you know what, quite a number was from locally from Fort McMurray itself. And, you know, I worked here in 2015 to 2017, and, you know, to be honest with you, we didn't have a lot of thefts in 2015. Mm-hmm. And things have changed a little bit. We've had, we have a monthly report on theft of vehicles, and so I can see those numbers and other thefts. And we have our crime reduction unit here, and they're very active, as well as all of our other units. So we have an intelligence unit. They're the ones that put together these numbers for me and look at the numbers coming in, putting charts together and everything, so we can kind of see where our priorities are. But there's a number of different things that we can do, and we are looking at property crime and theft as a priority this year.
Okay, and going back to the rural hamlets, you mentioned that you had a chance to speak with leadership in Conklin as well as for Chippewan, and you mentioned that you got some good feedback. I don't know if you can kind of expand on that. What were some of the concerns directly coming from them that they want to see get addressed?
I think the concerns are really in line with the survey. You know, we've got property crime and theft. Property crimes is up there. We've also got drugs as being an issue. And, you know, it's not uncommon to go really to, you know, I've worked in four different provinces, to go to any province, and drugs is probably always going to be an issue. You know, it's always going to be something that you want to look at and ensure that you're doing the best work that you can to keep everybody safe, you know, because drugs relates to a lot of other issues. And, you know, I mean, I could probably keep going on that line if you want, but we've had some success in drug work lately. You know, I've got some teams that are working on these things, including, you know, I've got Staff Sergeant Keith Horwood, who's an acting inspector here looking after all the plainclothes unit. He's very engaged. I've got Sergeant Diane Martin, who's my intelligence coordinator here, oversees crime reduction unit and the intelligence unit, and Corporal Sean Flannery in our drug section. And, you know, there's been a couple of media releases over the last couple weeks, mm-hmm, that have been pretty positive with regards to, you know, getting some cocaine, fentanyl off the street, some money that has been seized, you know, proceeds of crime. And you know, I think there's a lot of work to be done there, but we're only as good as the community. You know, if you're talking about intelligence-led policing, you know, and every meeting I go to, I stress this, that, you know, we have the resources and the expertise here to handle information confidentially and follow up on these issues, right? If you have a house and people are coming and going, steady, It's drug trafficking. It's nothing else, right? So, for the most part, if someone's going in a house for 30 seconds to a minute and they're gone again, that's what it is. So, you know, we need the community to point us in the right direction as well, and we're certainly open to that. And again, just from our short period of time talking, that I always want to be transparent and put it out there. There's Crime Stoppers, but there's also, you know, providing information to the police, and we're always looking for that from the communities to try to strengthen the community.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk with Mark Hancock, superintendent of the Wood Buffalo RCMP.
We'll return a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mark Hancock, superintendent of the Wood Buffalo RCMP. And before the break, Mark, I know you were kind of touching on some of the arrests that have been made in the region in the past few weeks. We've seen quite a few releases in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Is that, you know, concerning that, you know, there are all these drugs are on the street and all these arrests are being made, or is it more positive that, like I said, these arrests are being made?
I think that it's in every community, and I think it's also somewhat, Jaron, because I want that. I want the news stories to get out about the work that's being done. And so that's important to me. It's important to be transparent to the community, and, you know, we'll continue to try to do that, right? I want the positive stories of the police work that's being done here to get out there. And, you know, I'm not either afraid of tackling harder questions either. I just think it's time to be transparent and continue doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to bring up some cool news that we are talking a little bit off air about. And we know that the downtown core has been struggling over the past few years. We've had a big announcement a few weeks ago with Syncrude noting that they're going to be moving some of their employees downtown, hoping to put a little bit of a spark back into the downtown core. And it looks like the RCMP are going to be doing the same, as you guys are going to be opening up a downtown office in the near future.
Yeah, we've been working really hard on a few things, and with the community, and I know that the mayor, CAO, everyone really supports this idea. So in the downtown area, in 909 Franklin Avenue, where what used to be my McMurray Experience and the Blue Mountain Bistro, we're going to have that area, both of those areas, for the police and for bylaw also to work out of. So I think it's going to be a really good thing. I know that we're getting the building set up now. We're going to have access for our members to be able to use laptops down there and access our police files. We come and go with the laptops because of security reasons. But it'll be labeled. We're still looking at, do we call it the community policing office? I think that's where we're going, with RMWV and RCMP logos outside. We're looking at hopefully at opening in the late spring. And I think it's very exciting. I think in the we still got the area that used to be my McMurray Experience, with chairs that pop up out of the floor. We've got things area where we can do presentations and do some community policing things. Hopefully when COVID lifts, if it does, we'll be able to utilize that more in a personalized way. But it's going to be a sort of a storefront, but my members and the bylaw members will be able to work out of there, and I think that that's going to be really good for the community.
Mm-hmm. When you say
I fully support it, yes.
Yeah. When you say community office, can you kind of expand on that? Because I'm trying to picture just, you know, the regular detachment that we have up in Timberley. So is there going to be a specific, detachment or department within the RCMP that's going to be working out there? Is this a place where you potentially see community members going if they have an issue, maybe downtown? Like, what specifically do you vision this space being used specifically for?
Well, I think the space could be used for lots of things. You could members could probably the plan is that they'll be able to have their laptops in there. They'll be able to hook up. They'll be able to actually sit down and maybe take statements from people in there. At the same time, you know, there won't be any cells in there. There won't be any jail in there. It'll be a community policing office. So we still have the South Policing Facility down in Gregoire that houses the majority of our jail cells, and Bylaw are down there working out of that as well. So we still have that building, and that's active, and as well as Timberley. But this is going to be a place that, you know, I think we have members assigned to each of our communities. And, you know, the members that are assigned to downtown will be able to go in there and, you know, do their shift there. I'm hoping to get, you know, your foot patrols, your bicycle patrols and that kind of stuff going in the summer as well. And, you know, have a little bit of visibility down there. I think it's really exciting.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So it's kind of like maybe an expansion of the detachment we have in Timberley. Just instead of it being off of that building, it's going to be kind of downtown.
Yeah, I think we can have a presence down there, and people can come see us down there, and you know, the members can come and go from there a little bit that are assigned to that zone.
All right, that sounds like some great news. And again, just like the Syncrude announcement a few weeks ago, having more people working out of downtown, hopefully that'll be a little bit of a spark to the local economy as well.
Well, I hope so. I think that downtown has a lot of potential, and you know, why not have members down there so people feel safe all the time.
We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to finish our talk with Mark Hancock, superintendent of the Wood Buffalo RCMP.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mark Hancock, superintendent of the Wood Buffalo RCMP. And Mark, when you were on the show a few weeks ago, you were talking about some exciting news that you're looking to develop the region's first mental health crisis team, which will join officers on calls. I know you don't have much of an update specifically on this team, and you're hoping to have this up in the very near future. But you were also talking about some other initiatives and programs kind of, you know, that would coincide with this team. Do you have an update on those?
Well, I also touched it. So yeah, the PAC team, or the mental health crisis team, is getting put together, and I'm hoping to see that in the very near future. That's sort of, as I told you, it's one of my priorities. But as well, we have the whole restorative justice process I talked about before, and there's been a couple of I've been enlightened on a couple of things that have changed since I was doing it years ago, and I think it's even more applicable now, and the program is more accessible. So basically, currently, the restorative justice program functions through a direct police referral involving youth to our local justice committee. And the RCMP, we primarily refer pre-charge, but also utilize the program for post-charge of alternative sanctions. And right now we have 23 facilitators trained and able to do restorative justice circle conferences. So we have a fair amount of people trained as facilitators, which is important if you start actually doing these forums. The restorative justice program has been running in Wood Buffalo since August of 2019, but just for youth. So this is being looked at, hopefully, to expand to adults as well. And Wood Buffalo RCMP has been operating in collaboration with the Wood Buffalo Youth Justice Committee, probation, and the Crown, and we have been successfully doing this. We're now moving forward to create an adult restorative justice committee and looking forward to provide the same restorative justice opportunity, like I said, for adults. So
I was going to say, do you know when that's supposed to be up and running?
Well, it's up and running now, and actually, well, the youth is still up and running. The adult, not yet, but we're working on that. And I know, you know, with some of these issues with COVID, and it's been pretty difficult to get people together. Like, if you look at the past 3 years, in 2019, we had 6 restorative justice circles completed, and 10 youth were involved in these circles. And then in 2020, we had 4, with a total of 8 youth. And then COVID, right? COVID slowed us down. So far this year, we've only had 1. on, but now we're moving to a virtual circle platform, and it seems to be doing well. So, you know, you want to meet in person to do these, but if we can do them virtually, that's kind of the way everything is going now, right now. We're starting to lean towards that to get these numbers up a bit more and get more of these going. So a couple of changes since last time I spoke to you that I've looked into are that with the program, the victims and the offenders have an opportunity to come together to work to repair the harm done. However, it is not a requirement of the program. Restorative justice circles can be carried out with the recommendations of the victim and other parties involved without the victim's physical presence. So the goal is not to cause further harm. And this is to show empathy and support the victim when they are not ready. So, because we don't want to re-victimize, but we want to promote healing within the victim present when possible. So, you know, we show understanding when it's not the right time and move forward with the offender and start the restorative justice process with others affected while keeping all parties involved. So, you know, sometimes a victim may not want to participate in a forum, but they can send other people into the forum for them and then hear about the feedback, right, until they're ready. So that opens it up to be able to do even more of these, right, these circles. And the other thing that I wanted to expand upon was that offenders in this are referred to offenders or wrongdoers. Offenders do not submit an admission of guilt as they would for court. Before, I said that people had to confess to this, and they still kind of do, but not in our formal RCMP confession type thing. It's the RJ process requires them to take accountability for the harm they caused by their actions. As long as the offender is willing to acknowledge how the incident has affected all involved, we're willing to move forward. So as a team, we educate the public the impact of the incident has and who's been impacted, as well as begin the process to restoratively repair those involved and support the community as a whole. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a confession. As I know it, it can be just a person taking accountability at some stage of the process when they're ready to do this. So, you know, we've got some people who've been working really hard on this here in the detachment, including our RCMP constable, Rebecca Hutchings Archibald, and then also on the municipal side, Nicole Chouinard, who's the manager of RCMP Support and Victim Services, has been on this for the municipality. And with regards to training and setting up the program virtual, all that stuff as well. And then we have municipal employee Melanie Head, who's the coordinator of restorative justice for the detachment. So, you know, I did a pilot project in Siksika First Nation for that community as part of the executive development course I did, and they needed a coordinator, right? And they didn't have one. They have all the people paid as facilitators, but when you have a coordinator, kind of keeps things together, right? So Melanie is doing that for us, which is very important. And I guess just as one last note on restorative justice, if you're looking nationally at the numbers, 80% of the participants who were involved in this had not reoffended 2 years following participation in the restorative justice process. So 80% is a good number, you know, for people not reoffending. And then, you know, the victim's satisfaction report on using this restorative justice process is like 75 to 98% satisfaction. So it empowers the victim. And so anyway, it's just another thing that I'm really wanting to promote here.
All right. Well, Mark, thank you so much again for coming on the show. Again, we're hoping to have you on monthly just to talk about some of the biggest issues that are, I guess, impacting residents across the region.
No, I really appreciate it. I'll talk to you anytime you want.
Once again, that was Mark Hancock, superintendent of the Wood Buffalo RCMP. Now, that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.